Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. I don't know about you, but this morning I don't feel like I have eternal life. Don't get me wrong, I believe the words of our Lord. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, but I just don't feel like it. Fall is typically demanding on everyone in this community as we make a largely uninterrupted sprint from Labor Day to Thanksgiving. And by this time in the quarter, students, faculty, and staff all begin to show the effects of the stress of exams, papers, family life, lectures, presentations, travel, and everything else that makes up our life and takes up our time. And so I guess it's not all that surprising that as I stumbled about the kitchen this morning with eyes half open or half closed, depending on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, I guess it's not all that surprising that my wife would greet me with the cheering words, "You look like death warmed over." The only part I really challenged was the warmed over part. If you didn't feel like that this morning, you have at some time. No matter how committed we are to our wellness program, the weakness and frailty of the flesh impose themselves upon us. And so the promise of Christ, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, takes some effort to believe. It's the present tense that challenges me on days like this. I have no problem confessing I will have eternal life in heaven someday, but frankly, most days my experience runs counter to the word has. The gap between Christ's promise and our life experience is only intensified by the season of the year. All around us there is death and the eschatological reality of the end of the church year, the tired end of Pentecost as we prepare to make the transition to the new church year. As beautiful as the autumn days are, it only takes one windy day for the summer's work of a tree to be driven to the ground and begin its decomposition. The tolling bell of All Saints brings to mind those who have passed from physical life this past year and serves as a reminder of the fleeting character of human existence, here for a moment and then gone. Yet we spend much of our time fending off our great foe. The architectural temples of the present are hospitals. They used to be banks and businesses. But how many of you got your flu shot this year? And how many of you exercised over the weekend, or thought about exercising, or even watched someone exercising on the gridiron? Wellness programs are good things, but as one of my colleagues used to say before he passed away, every moment spent exercising at best only delays the inevitable. And so, resonating with Luther, I say, in the very midst of life, snares of death surround us. Oh, and by the way, welcome to those of you who are here for the Good Shepherd Institute. It is truly good you are here, but the point is this: death is inevitable as long as we continue to wait for our Lord's return. And so, in the face of human experience, we desperately need to hear the voice of Christ and his words of life. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Fear of death stems not only from the mystery of what lies beyond it, but also from the fear of judgment. I've often wondered about the psychology of those signs along the highway that say, "Repent now, death is near." Good heavens, have I repented enough and properly? What will happen to me I worry even more about those people who put bumper stickers on their cars that read, "Warning, in case of rapture, this car will be driverless." Is that a threat? Maybe it's just a little righteous retribution. I'll be with God, but my car is going to kill you. I wonder about, again, the psychology of that person who makes that kind of threat. I wonder even more about whether they know the gospel, the opus proprium, the proper work of God. There is another way. We make the plea, again along with Luther, "Who shall help us in the strife, lest the foe confound us? Thou only, Lord, thou only. Save us, lest we perish in the bitter pangs of death." Jesus' message is one of promise, promise rooted in who he is and what he has done for us. It is centered in him and him alone. His words are light and life. They transform our experience from death to life. For we are the very ones of whom Christ speaks in this text. We are the ones who have heard his word and as a result have believed in the one who sent him. And that word is a sure and certain promise. You have eternal life. For through death, the death of his son, God destroyed death and opened the way to eternal life for you. For you who were dead in sin have been made alive by the living voice of Jesus. You have heard the voice of the Son of God when he claimed you as his own. You are mine. Your sins are forgiven. You have been washed with his life-giving word and passed from death into life. For through his baptism by fire, Christ took God's judgment on your sin into himself, and through his baptism of grace through water and the word, he raised you and me from death's tomb into a resurrection of life. Marvelous words of life and promise that transform us into the people of God. No longer death warmed over, Christ, our life, dwells with us and in us, as the words and promises of God declare. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.